spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, I will talk to you in this service today on the subject, the three cheers that Jesus gave. Three cheers that Jesus gave. And I might just start by saying, no matter what you're facing, and no matter what your problems are, cheer up. Jesus has a message to cheer for. Now, I will tell you frankly, you didn't hear as much inspiration on the platform this morning. I'll tell you, you're really taking it hard today. I don't know what your problems are, but it must be bad. It must be real bad. I don't think I saw a spy all the morning, I felt smart from the song. I thought the lady managed to get through that song service because it was, I didn't see a smile the whole time. I thought, man, these preachers that have come today must really have problems. I believe the Lord really gave me the message of the hour today, whether I preached it like it or not. I can tell with the expression on your face, you're really going through some hard times. And I just trust the Lord will lift you up and cheer you up before the day is over. But be that as it may, I haven't come to delve into your personal life or your personal problems or your church problems. I simply come to share with you a message that Jesus gave his disciples on one occasion. Now in Matthew chapter 14, the Bible tells us that after Jesus had ministered to the multitudes on one occasion, he had gone up into the, he dismissed the people, he went up into the mountain to pray, and he sent his disciples ahead of him to the other side of the lake in order that they might be there getting ready for the next meeting and the next time when he would join them for his teaching and preaching ministry. Now, the one thing I would like to remind you of in this passage of Scripture is that as soon as Jesus had physically and bodily dismissed himself from his disciples, it did not mean that he had dismissed them from his heart and from his mind.
That's right.
And when those contrary winds began to blow on the stormy sea and the disciples felt all alone, I would like to suggest to you that Jesus understood and knew what they were going through. And I am convinced today that when we go through those lonely times and those discouraging times, when we are fighting the battle seemingly all alone, and we have nobody to turn to, and it seems like that there is no one on earth who understands, I am convinced that we are in the heart and mind of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He understands and he knows the contrary winds that blow against our lives. Oh, I pray that God will help us today to understand that no matter what we face, we can be of good courage today because Jesus knows all about it. He understands, he cares, and he will supply and provide for the needs that we have in our lives. Now, I would like you to notice that in verse 23 or verse 24, the Bible says, But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. There are a lot of contrary winds that are blowing today. There are a lot of contrary winds that are blowing against the church. There are a lot of contrary winds that are blowing against the ministry. But I trust that God will help us to understand today that in the midst of contrary winds, we can be of good cheer and be of good courage because Jesus Christ is with us. Now, it's not hard to be of good cheer when everything's going the way you want to. When your tithe offering is up, whenever the crowd is up, whenever everyone is responding and things are going like you want them to go, it's not hard to be of good cheer. Well, let me tell you the time that it's hardest to be of good cheer. It's when the crowd is down, and when the offerings are not what you think they ought to be, and when everything is not going like you want it to go,
to the battle and to be willing to face the problems and the difficulties and the contrary winds with a cheerful heart, knowing that Jesus Christ is the victor and he's going to see us through.
Yes, hallelujah.
He allowed them to go through the storm. And in the midst of that stormy, fearful night, in the moment when those disciples' hearts were gripped with the abnormal fear, He, Jesus, came to them upon a stormy night, walking on the sea. And when He got to them, He said, "Don't be afraid, it's me. It's
Praise
Jesus.
God.
Be of good cheer." Oh, listen, I believe that in the moment when the storm is raging the hardest, and when the clouds are the darkest, and when everything seems to go black in your life, Jesus will come to you in that moment, and He will say to you, "Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I'm going to see you through the storm."
Praise God.
Oh, thank God, we have a Christ who comes in the moment of crisis, and He says, "Be of good cheer." I don't know what crisis you may be facing in your life today, but I hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I am the one who is the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And I am come to bring victory to your life. And I am going to see you through this storm."
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I read the other day about a woman who raised a large family. And they all turned out to be good. I want to tell you that's some kind of accomplishment in these days and times. Somebody went to her and asked her, said, "How do you do it?" She raised the family by herself. She had the husband to help her. She said, "Well, I'll tell you what I do. Every morning when I get up, I pray for difficulties." And then she said, "Every night before I go to bed," she said, "I have to honestly thank you, Jesus, for helping me through the difficulties." Well, I know a lot of preachers that don't pray for difficulties. We pray, "Lord, deliver us from all the problems and the difficulty and the hardship that we have to go through. Why do I have to go through this?" Oh, listen. Jesus didn't promise you wouldn't go through the storm. He never anywhere promised you wouldn't go through problems. There is no promise in God's word that doesn't say we won't have to face the contrary winds of life. I can tell you on the authority of God's book today that in the midst of the storm, Jesus will come to you in the hour of need in your life, and He'll say to you,
"Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to see you through the storm.
Yes.
I'm going to see you every obstacle that comes to you."
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'd like to just share with you that one cheer that Jesus gave to His disciples and to others, to those He ministered to, was the cheer of forgiveness. Jesus spoke the cheer of forgiveness to you and I. The cheer of forgiveness. Now, we take this so lightly and so for granted. But you know, one of the biggest problems that I notice among Christian people today is the problem of no assurance concerning their salvation.
Uh-huh.
I took a survey some time ago in the church, and we took it from the junior through the adult departments, and we called them all into the auditorium for the opening session, and we gave them a survey, and on the survey we had a number of questions that related to various aspects of the Christian life. They didn't know what we were doing. They didn't realize why we wanted the questionnaire. We just explained to them. We wanted them to answer these questions. It would help direct us in our plan for future ministry. And each question related to a particular area of Christian life. One question related, or a couple of questions related to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, or a couple of questions related to soul winning, a couple of questions related to our Christian assurance, a couple of questions related to salvation, another question, another questionnaire that related to discipleship or obedience in obeying the Lord, and each question would work in such a way that we would be able to know by the response exactly how they were getting along in this particular area. And after I collected the survey and we put over the survey, the one area where there seemed to be a need for help above all others was in the area of assurance. A lot of people were not sure of their salvation. Oh, they didn't have the kind of assurance they wanted. Now, I don't think they had anything wrong. I don't think there was any problem. will keep ordaining them, he promised before God. Now when the devil comes back to bring condemnation to the hearts and lives of people, and Paul the Apostle had to deal with this concerning the Roman Christians. You remember when he wrote the letter to those in Rome, and he was dealing with his 8th chapter of Romans about condemnation, and there were people who were living under condemnation, and he said, who is it? It's not the Lord. Because the Lord forgives. And when the Lord forgives, he forgets. It's the devil that forgives. And there are a lot of people who do not accept that genuine assurance of forgiveness and don't have victory in their lives because they don't have the cheer of forgiveness total and complete in their hearts and lives.
Amen.
I think about Peter. You know, Peter was a miserable disciple at one time. He was a miserable failure. And I don't think I need to elaborate on how he failed the Lord. You know the story well, he cursed and swore and rejected Christ and failed the Lord after all the Lord had done for him. But just think, here is a man who is unfaithful, who has gone to the very depth of failure and disappointment. He has hurt the heart of God. He has turned his back on the Son of God. He has cursed and said he didn't know Jesus. Yet the reaction of Jesus was Jesus completely and totally forgiven. And you know what I'm reading with? After Jesus was crucified and after he was raised from the dead, when he came in contact with Peter, there's not one verse of scripture I read in the Bible where Jesus came and said, now Peter, I want to just remind you what you did whenever I was going to be tried and find judgment. Now I forgive you for it, but I don't.
Thank you.
as I got down to him, he said, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord. And he said, I've now got Jesus with me. And he said, I just want you to know that I have accepted the forgiveness of Jesus in my heart and life. And he said, I don't know how long you're going to have to stay. I'm scheduled to stay 4 years, but he said, it doesn't make any difference. I've made up my mind I'm going to live for Jesus while I'm in prison. Oh, listen, friends, when you accept the cheer of forgiveness, it can revolutionize
everything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Great pastor, appreciate you. I received a letter
the Lord had in my congregation, I guess that meant as much to me. It brought tears to my eyes when I read the letter. I know this family, I know some of the problems they've been through. I know some of the heartache they've had to endure in their own family. But when he penned these words in this letter, he said to your pastor, I'm sorry that we have to have a competition to express our appreciation. And he went on and then ended up his remarks. Then there was something he said that spoke to my heart. He said it has been such an encouragement and blessing to me in these weeks and months, knowing what you have been going through, to see your attitude of cheer and joy and concern for others in spite of your own problems. And when I read those words, I had to look up and say, oh Jesus, I thank you for your encouragement and your cheer. I want to tell you that doesn't come humanly. It doesn't come. That's not human reaction. There have been a lot of times when I've gone in the pulpit in recent months to preach, and I want to tell you, I preached by faith. I didn't preach by inspiration. I didn't preach because I felt like it. I didn't preach because I had something down in my heart that I felt like was a joy upon me. I went there because I knew I was God's man for that hour. I knew I'd been called of God. I knew I was living in circumstances that I had not created, that I had nothing to do with. But I want to thank God that every time I stood before that congregation and that pulpit, the companionship of Jesus was there.
Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Jesus only brings a cheer of companionship when he brought a cheer of it. Oh, thank God. I want to tell your friends the victory, God. I don't care what the devil says, I don't care what the world says, I don't care what the enemy says, the victory belongs to the people of God.
That's right.
Jesus brought the cheer of victory. And it makes no difference how dark it looks. It makes no difference what the circumstances are that surround us in our world. Jesus Christ has promised that we shall overcome.
That's
and I am living by faith that Jesus' word is true. And it brings cheer to my heart to know that in spite of all that we're facing in this world, the victory is mine by faith. The victory is mine by faith. Jesus said to those disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 33, after he had talked to them about his death, he talked to them about the cross. He told them that he was going to have to go away. They were discouraged. They were despondent. He recognized what an awful thing that they were facing, because they recognized that without their leader, they would have to face a cruel, ungodly Roman ruler, a world ruled by cruelty and heathenism. And that wasn't a pleasant prospect. I like what Jesus said when he stood before the disciples and after sharing with them what was going to happen. He said, be of good cheer.
Oh, hallelujah.
You're going to have to live in this world.
Hallelujah.
And you're going to have to face the problems of this world.
Thank you.
And you're going to have to come to grips with all the adversities and the complications and the complexities of a well-grown man instead. But he said, I want you to be of good cheer in the midst of it, because I've overcome the world.
Hallelujah.
And we're all facing the world. Don't think we're not faced with it. The laymen in the church are faced with it. The preachers are faced with it. We're all facing worlds. We're all facing the problems of the world that's gone mad. We're all facing the complexities of the world that seems to abound in both worlds sometimes. It seems like that the more man struggles with pride, the worse shape he gets this old world in. Well, I'm here to tell you today, Jesus said, be of good cheer, because I don't know.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Not because I'm worthy, not because I deserve it, but he's going to help me.
you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
because he lives. Oh, Peter is gone. I want to tell you, friends, he's alive today.
Hallelujah. Yes, amen. That's it. That's
praise
it.
God.
Come on.
baptism of fire. Give us a baptism of fire. Give us a baptism of fire, Lord.
Shorts, the preachers and their wives in the district council meeting.